Our next reading is coming from the Gospel of Luke, and we are in chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and she praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work to be done. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it some water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, shouldn't she be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. This is the word of the Lord. A few years ago, the Christian nonprofit group Bread for the World, they aim at trying to lobby the government to create new laws to alleviate hunger. Well, they produced this great promotional video aimed at getting more people involved in trying to eradicate hunger. So the video featured several young adults talking about the problems that face our world today. And so one lady, she must have been like 20 years old maybe, she's sitting at a table in a library and she's looking right at the camera with a very concerned expression on her face. And she's telling us, "Did you know that many women in Africa, they walk more than 3.5 miles just to get something to drink?" She's really concerned. Then with a shrug of her shoulders, her expression changes, and she said, "I guess that's how they stay so thin." Next shot of a young adult on a busy city street telling us that it only costs $1 a day for many in the world to receive life-saving medicine. $1 a day. The young adult then asked, "But where am I going to get that kind of money?" And continues to lift up the grande latte from Starbucks that they paid $6 for. Then there's another guy standing amidst a stack of books, and he has the Bible open. He's doing some serious studying. He looks in the Bible that's open, and he says, "Well, you know what? It says right here that the poor will always be with us. Who am I to argue with God?" At the very end of this promotional video, we hear each one of these young adults say, I want to be. And you think that they're going to say, "I want to be part of the solution. I want to be part of the solution." No. The video ends with each one of them saying, "I want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the problem. I'm going to be part of the problem." We continue making our way through Luke's gospel, and as we continue to do so, we are privy to all the conversations and to all the encounters that Jesus is having as he travels with his disciples, travels to Jerusalem, is traveling to the cross. And we see as we travel with him, as we overhear the conversations, as we take a look as to what's happening with the people he's meeting, we see just how easy it has always been to be part of the problem rather than being part of the solution. Today we join Jesus as he is teaching in one of the synagogues, which was a very common thing for him to do. Worshiping in the synagogue was at the heart of Judaism, and anyone, if you were a man, anyone could stand up and begin to lead worship, to open up the texts. So Jesus is there. He's teaching. When he notices a woman in the crowd who is bent over. Turns out she's been that way for 18 years. She has suffered a life of being in pain and being crippled. Well, today is her lucky day as Jesus, he stops what he's doing and he calls her over so that he can heal her. That's Jesus for you. Always noticing those in the crowd who are in need of something. Always stopping whatever he is doing at the moment to do something for someone else. I think right there and then, that's the lesson in this scripture, one of the lessons, that Jesus kept his eyes open and was very quick to adapt. Like, okay, I'm teaching, I'm preaching, but there's another need over here, so switch to plan B. I'm going to heal somebody. He was always able to see what others were blind to. And so he calls her up as she struggles to get to him, and he lays his hands on her, and we're told immediately, just like that, she straightens up and she praises God. But nobody else is joining in on the praises to God. You know, last week Jesus reminded us in scripture that he came not necessarily to bring peace all the time, but he came to divide households. And basically what I was saying to you, I was reminding you last week, that he didn't come just to stir the pot. What he was saying is that he knew his ways of doing things was going to cause trouble. And so trouble began to happen in that synagogue. The pious religious leaders, the know-it-alls who kept meticulous track and details of all the laws that people had to follow, they were having a fit because one of the laws out of the more than 600 laws they had to follow, one of those laws said, thou shalt not heal on a Sabbath day. So the head of the synagogue where Jesus was teaching was not going to have any of his laws broken in his synagogue. Now, before I go any further, let me offer up here that we give the religious leaders a little bit of a break, okay? Don't quickly go to, I can't believe what they were doing. Slow down. Give them the benefit of the doubt, okay? Just hold that. Let's not beat up on them too badly because they seem totally void of compassion. In fact, help or healing could be given to somebody on a Sabbath. There was another little law there. Somebody could be healed on a Sabbath day if they were in mortal danger. Now, Luke's gospel made it a point of telling us that this woman was bent over for 18 years. She wasn't in any mortal danger. She was just in chronic pain and discomfort. So in the eyes of the religious leaders, Jesus could have waited one more day to heal this woman. He didn't need to break the Sabbath law. She's been this way for 18 years. Make it 18 years in one day. What's one more day? It can be done tomorrow. Kind of sounds familiar, huh? There's always tomorrow. Jesus, though, didn't understand. He didn't understand that way of thinking. Why perpetuate a problem when you could be part of the solution right now? And so that's the question that Jesus basically asks when he makes the point that if your donkey or your ox needed water on the Sabbath, you're not going to ignore the animal's needs. No. You who are going to untie an animal so that they can have a drink of water, give them life-giving water, why can't you do that for another human being. A daughter of Abraham, Jesus says, which is Jesus' way of making sure that everyone in that synagogue knows that we are all God's children. She is a daughter of Abraham, just as you are a son of Abraham and you are a daughter of Abraham. She too is worthy of a life free of pain. She is worthy of being healed right now. Don't tell her to wait one more day. Sadly, those in the synagogue were more in love with keeping the laws and the systems in place, more in love with that than in love with God's children. But here's the thing that we tend to forget. We don't live in a black and white world where everything can be put into neat little boxes and controlled and contained by rules and regulations. Rather, we live with areas of gray all the time. Areas that are sometimes hard to discern, that's just so hard. That is hard to discern and hard to navigate. Only hard when our eyes are not on Jesus. Only hard when our eyes are not on Jesus. For when our eyes are on Jesus, when our knees are on the ground in prayer, answers do come. For the wonderful news is that we have all the wisdom we need to live in this world of gray. We have God. And yet so often we find ourselves asking, what do I do? Should I help? Should I speak up? Do I raise awareness that something not right is going on? Do I sign that petition? Do I be part of the problem or do I be part of the solution? What's one more day, really? And you know what? What's one more day? Because you know what can happen in that 24-hour time span? You know what can happen, and I think it's something that we all pray will happen when we say, what's one more day? I'll deal with that tomorrow. Someone else comes along and helps, right? What's one more day? Maybe somebody else will step in to do the work. Oh, what? You know, I was going to, but somebody else is now speaking up. I'll shut up. The thing is, when we say, what's one more day? Nothing gets done. When we choose not to speak up, to support others, not to help others, those who are trying get disheartened and wonder if anyone really cares about their struggles. I wonder what that woman bent over for 18 years thought. Did anyone worshiping with her, who knew her, did anyone speak up for her? Did anyone advocate for her? I said before that we should cut these religious know-it-alls, we should cut them a break. And really we should. We should give them the benefit of the doubt whenever we hear about these religious know-it-alls in the Bible. They show up a lot. They show up a lot, not just here. They're always poking their nose into what Jesus is trying to do. I say we should give them the benefit of the doubt because they are us. They are us. We are always in jeopardy of loving systems more than loving God and loving one another. On Friday, I was in Chestertown. I'm part of this Presbytery group trying to re-envision the Presbytery of the future. And we haven't rolled out anything to the entire presbytery yet. We're still in, you know, back office mode. 8 hours on Friday, 8 hours of trying to break systems that have been in place way too long that are not moving us forward. 8 hours of hearing amazing ideas thoughts, how we can do things, how we can be the church. 8 hours of that only to have these creative ideas and thoughts to all somehow be funneled back to, well, how are they going to fit into our system that we have already? I finally spoke up. And I love the thing, you know, I said, you know, being relatively new, I'm going to use that when I'm here 5 years, you know. Anyway, being sort of new here in this group and having not grown up Presbyterian, here's a thought. Why don't we pretend we're United Church of Christ, UCC, Congregationalists, just for a second? Whoa, the eyes rolled at me. What I was trying to say, can we just, for the sake of this meeting, forget everything we know about Presbyterian 101 and listen to what God is doing? We tried. But somehow we still kept trying to take all those innovative ideas and we tried to squeeze them and stuff them into the system we have in place. Yet in God's kingdom, systems give God a headache. What he wants is for us to put people first. You know, the word religion comes from a Latin word which means to bind. Did you know that? To bind. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were binding themselves to the wrong thing. They were binding themselves to laws and rules. And Jesus, who was labeled as a heretic and sacrilegious by them, he was actually modeling truly religion in the purest form because he was binding himself to God and to God's vision. It's interesting that here in Luke's gospel, this is the last time ever that we hear Jesus being in a synagogue ever again. Now, I wondered about that. Did the word get out? And was he banned from going to any other synagogue again? Or was Jesus himself so fed up and decided to never enter into a church, synagogue again? We don't know. But he never entered into the synagogue again. Whatever the reason, it was clear that the conflict between God's ways and the world's ways, it was heating up. But what happened in the synagogue, though, it was not just about how these religious leaders were binding themselves to laws and regulations. There is something even more important here that we can't overlook. It's the crippled woman herself. We are told she's been like this for 18 years, a detail that really emphasizes she was suffering. We are told she was bent over. Try walking around bent over. I have done it when I pulled out my back. I didn't want to tell the kids that. They're having fun with their little game of trying to walk around bent over. I'm like, just wait till you get my age. The scripture tells us, when Jesus saw her, he called her over. Anyone have a problem with that? First thing they teach you in seminary, when you're doing communion service, when people are coming forward, first thing they teach you is to be mindful of those who cannot come forward. Be mindful of those who have trouble walking. And make sure you notice them, and make sure you tell them. Now, for those of you who cannot come forward, please sit where you are, and we will come over and we will serve you. It's just common sense, right? Well, perhaps Jesus missed that class one day because he told this crippled, in pain woman who is suffering and bent over to come to him. I'm not coming to you. You come to me. And see, there, my friends, is the important God moment that we miss not just in this story, but we miss in our stories of God at work in our lives. You see, the very thing this woman cannot do is the very thing that Jesus commands her to do. Or better yet, Jesus empowers her to do the one thing she and everybody else think she can't do. Jesus, who is the loving Savior today that he was way back when in the synagogue, Jesus sees each one of you. He sees us, and he knows the things that are crippling you in your life, be it physical or emotional, be it the challenges on the outside or the challenges within. Jesus sees our infirmities that holds us back, and Jesus commands us to do the very things that we think we cannot do. And it begins, that Jesus transformation moment in your life, it begins by you not sitting in your pew waiting for the miracle to happen. Your Jesus transformation moment in your life begins when you get up, no matter how much in pain you are, or how doubtful you are, how skeptical you are, how angry you are. It starts when you get up and you take that first step to him. We're always waiting around for the miracles. We're waiting around for the church to grow. We're waiting around for tomorrow to come. What's one more day? Jesus tells her, you get up, bent over as you are, you get up and you come to me. And when we do, make that walk, something amazing happens. We're not bent over anymore. You see, when you decide to reach out to Jesus, to walk towards the promise he has for you, you stand taller. You feel stronger. You find that you have the capability to forgive when you thought you would never forgive at all. You begin to love when you thought you had no more love to give. You begin speaking up when you thought your voice was silent. The New Testament scripture is teamed up with the story of Jeremiah's call. And God calls this young boy to be this messenger to all the nations. And he says, what, me? Are you crazy? I'm not fit. I'm young. I don't know. I can't speak. And Jeremiah, he protested, but God kept saying, I don't get that. I don't want to hear that. I know you. I know what you can do, and I have called you. Don't be afraid of the others. Don't be afraid of what they might think. For I am with you, and I will deliver you. In both cases, Jeremiah and Jesus are inviting us to see how foolish are the limits that we place on others, that we place on ourselves. For even God will, can do amazing things. And so what we should be saying today, our prayer today, our cry today should be, Lord, change the way I see today. Change the way I see so that I may finally see. Change the way I see so that I may finally see that I have it in me. You have it in you. You have it in you to be part of the solution in this world rather than perpetuating the problems. Jesus is calling you to get up out of those pews. Stop waiting for your miracle and start taking the steps towards him. for he has called each one of you. He sees something in each one of you that you don't even see for yourself. And it's amazing and it's beautiful. So start walking, and you will find yourself standing taller and taller each and every day. Thanks be to God.